go on. So the future is bright. Now, I didn't actually see the board outside when I was coming through because I came down the passageway. But I wonder how that looked. And I wanted to say to Liz when I gave her the subject, I want is in big letters. Of course, the problem with that is the word IS in big letters is not really the best thing to do in this day and age, is it? So I didn't even ask for it to be done. But that's it, isn't it, brothers and sisters? IS, that's the one thing that's on the news nearly all the time, isn't it? The so-called Islamic State. We hear about them day in, day out. We see the atrocities that are going on in Syria, in Iraq, in Iran, in Israel. So the question is, with that all going on, does the future look bright? Well, if you look around today, it's nice and sunny. It's not a dreary day, so we're all perked up a bit. The sun's out. It looks bright. You feel good. But I wonder what each of your thoughts are about the future. I wonder if we stood outside and asked every passerby and asked them a poll, what do you think about the future? What do you think about where the world is going? Well, if I said and we had the future is bright behind us as we were asking, I'm sure they would say, well, that's not right. I don't believe the future is bright. I don't believe that there's so many things going on, isn't there? I would think, going on the events of the past year at least, to me, talking to people at work, talking to other people, the word that comes out at the moment for the future is uncertainty. Just over a year ago we had the vote, didn't we? And we're now in this Brexit process. And people are uncertain about where that's going to lead. What's going to happen come March 2019? Which sounds a way away at the moment, but it will come round soon enough, for sure. Then we had the quick general election, and suddenly the majority government becomes a minority government. Now there's uncertainty how they can govern the country for the next 5 years. The economy, don't have to say too much more about that, but something is going to go bang before long. And then we have all these other terrible things that we hear about day by day. Cancer. Every day we hear of somebody either dying of it or being diagnosed with it. The terrible atrocities of child abuse and this great big scandal and investigation that's going on over the past decades that it's happened. And only in the news this week, we have that ring of 11 men who were keeping people as slaves. Not in the Middle Eastern countries or in a third world country of Africa, but in this country. That's the state of the world, isn't it? And then if you look further abroad, because that's kind of all within our own borders, well, uncertainty, I'm certain the United States also feel that. With President Trump at the head, he certainly is unpredictable. And of course now we're getting him playing games with North Korea. And we wonder where that's going to end. North Korea seem to be flouting their nuclear weapons. And I've heard some people even say World War III is looming. That's the world that seems to be out there at the moment, friends. So is the future bright? Well, if you look at all of that, it certainly doesn't look it, does it? It looks like there's going to be war, it looks like there's going to be famine, it looks like there's going to be poverty. It's a bit of a mess, if I'm honest with you. But we haven't come here to talk about how bad the world is at the moment. What we come is to look at God's word, look at the Bible, and see that he tells that isn't the future. There is a better future. The future is bright. So we're going to look through his word and look through a few passages to see that there is a real, there is a tangible future on this earth that God has promised. And some people go, well, why? Why would God set up something on this earth? Why does it need it? We've seen why it's needed. But why is God interested? And I'll take you to one passage in Isaiah. You don't need to turn it up. If you stay with Daniel 2, we'll come back there in a second. But in Isaiah 45, we have one verse there that says, "For thus says the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he has established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else." That was God's purpose from creation, that this earth would be inhabited with mankind. And so those people who say the sun's going to burn out, the earth's going to disappear, all these things for the future, that's not what God says. God says the earth is there and I've created it for man to live upon it. And so, as we said, there is a better future, and it's going to be here on the earth. It's going to go to Matthew first. If you're still there in Daniel, let's go to Daniel first. So, as Tom read for us, we read there, there's this king upon the throne of Babylon called Nebuchadnezzar, and he has this dream that we read of. Now, I wonder if he had some funny cheese that night, because this seems to be some weird dream that comes up. I know I have some funny ones at times. So he's dreaming there, and he dreams of this statue with the head of gold, the chest and arms of silver, the belly and thighs of brass, the legs of iron, and then the feet part of iron and part of clay. And Nebuchadnezzar cannot fathom out what this dream means. And so Daniel, who is a servant of God at the time, comes forward and God gives him the interpretation which we read. So if you're still there in Daniel 2, what did we read? So in verse 37, "You, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into your hand, and has made you ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold." So what he's saying is, your kingdom, your rulership, your nation of Babylon is depicted as this head of gold. So you're going to reign. You are the best of all these. But then he goes on and says, 39, "After thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another kingdom, a third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth." So now he's saying to Nebuchadnezzar, you may have this kingdom, which we saw there God has actually allowed and given Nebuchadnezzar, but that is going to be taken away from you. And I wonder Nebuchadnezzar's reaction at that point, that the kingdom's going to be taken away. What's going to happen is another nation is going to rise up and take over the empire, as we may call it, take over ruling the area. And we know, fortunately, we have good history on our side. So we know that after the Babylonians, along came the Medo-Persian Empire. And they did take over, and Babylon was no more. And then after them, there was another kingdom that came up. And that was the Greeks, depicted by the belly and thighs of brass. And they overtook the Medo-Persians. And then we have in verse 40, the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. So there's this fourth nation that comes and rules as an empire over Israel and over the known world at that time. And that was the Roman Empire that I'm sure most of us are aware of. And it's interesting there that in verse 40, for as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdues, as iron that breaks all these things, should it break in pieces and bruise. And if you look at the Roman Empire, it most certainly fitted that bill. It was a ruthless empire and did break and subdue all the nations around them. So then we come on to verse 41. And whereas you saw the feet and toes, part of clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, so that there's strength and weakness. And so after the Roman Empire was dissolved as such, went away, since then there's really been no major world dominating empire. We've had things like the Chinese dynasties and the British Empire. The one thing is they never ruled over Israel, because the Romans made sure Israel was no longer. In AD 70, coming towards the end of the Roman Empire, they disbanded, they scattered Israel. And so what this is all about is about the nation of Israel. But we go on, so we've got these feet of iron and clay. So we can, I think, with confidence say we are in that period. We're not, obviously Roman Empire's gone, so we can't be in the legs. So we're now somewhere in the feet, possibly even at the toes, where we've got fragmented empires. As we said earlier, we've got the strength, we've got things, strong people like Trump and partly Britain, and we've got weaker nations as well, and we all try, I think, to work together, and as the United Nations has shown, it doesn't seem to be working. But what do we want to go on to? It's verse 44 that we want. In the days of these kings, so really now, sometime now, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to others, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, that shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. This was world history way back before Christ was even born. So I don't know exact dates, somewhere probably around 500, 600 BC. This was world history right up till now for the king of Babylon and for us to learn about. But in these times that we're now in, where it's mixed nations, God is going to get rid of all those kingdoms and create his own one on this earth. That's what the dream was all about, the history of mankind. And so God is going to set up this kingdom. And we've seen why he wants to do these things, that he wants the earth inhabited. And we could go to verses which show that he wants it inhabited with people who will worship him. So, what is this kingdom? I mean, somebody said at the moment that somebody else is going to come along and get rid of all the kingdoms of the world and create one universal, worldwide kingdom. Well, is that going to be any better than what we've got now? Well, surely it has to be a little bit better, and there's obviously one worldwide kingdom, so there'd be one top ruler. But some people would say, is it going to be any better? Well, let's have a look at some pictures of what this kingdom is going to be like. If you come back into the book of Isaiah, we're going to go through a few verses through this prophet. We're going to Isaiah chapter 2 to begin with, and we'll go through then as we progress. So Isaiah 2, the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the Lord, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. That's what's going to happen in the future. The word, God's righteousness from his appointed heir, the Lord Jesus Christ, will go forth from Jerusalem. And we know this has to be future, doesn't it? Jerusalem and Israel / Palestine are in turmoil at the moment. They can't agree about Jerusalem or about Temple Mount or Dome of the Rock, whichever one you want to call it. So the law, God's law, isn't flowing from Jerusalem at the moment, is it? But it will do in the future. Everybody will know this law. Everybody will abide by this law. Verse 4, he shall judge, so that's the king, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. And I'm sure you're all aware that is the verse that is outside the United Nations building, because that is their motto, if you want a better word. That is what they are ascribing and wanting to get to. But as we see, I think from this verse we can see that they're never going to make that. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ who will finally make that a reality. Think about that though, friends. Nation won't lift up sword against nation, and there'll be no more war. So all this that's going on between Trump and North Korea, that'll be a thing of the past. All this that's going on in Syria and in the Middle East, all that will be a thing of the past. Surely that's got to be something to look forward to. Turn over a few pages to chapter 11. And this is we'll cut in a little bit into the chapter, but it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and talking about this kingdom. Verse 6 says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Everything's going to be in harmony, effectively, is what it's saying. I mean, at the moment, if you put a lamb into a wolf enclosure, poor lamb, you know what's going to happen, I know what's going to happen. The leopard lie down with a kid, with a goat, same's going to happen there. A calf with a young lion, same thing. And a little child shall lead them. Well, I've got young children. I'm not going to put them anywhere near a lion or a wolf. Unless, of course, they've been naughty that day. Not listening. Then verse 8. The sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. The earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's the point. Everything's going to be in harmony. Nothing's going to hurt. Nothing's going to destroy. There will be true peace. Surely that's something to look forward to. Isaiah 35. Start at the beginning. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Well, we haven't got a problem this summer. It's been a little bit wet. But there are places in Africa who are suffering famine, where the land is parched and dry. There are great swathes of land across the earth that are just desert. They're going to blossom like the rose. Verse 5. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. There'll be no more of these horrible things. You won't go down the street and see a person walking with a white stick or with a guide dog. You won't see somebody going down the street in a wheelchair. All these things will come to pass. They will all be healed. And waters will break out in streams in the desert. Everywhere shall be plentiful and rich. And verse 10, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. That's got to be one of the best things to look forward to, that sorrow, that sighing, mourning, all these things that cause us grief will be no more. Last one in Isaiah, right to the end in chapter 65. Isaiah 65, start at verse 19. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. If you go into the streets of Jerusalem today, I'm sure you would hear weeping and crying. Verse 21, they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the works of their hands. They shall not labour in vain. And surely all of you have been around for a few years now, and we all laboured, all had to do our work to put food on the table, to survive through life. And we won't labour in vain anymore. And then verse 25, it repeats again, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. So that's some pictures from just Isaiah, and there's many more pictures throughout the Old and the New Testament. Time is going. If I just come over to Micah, you don't need to go there. If you want to, you can turn there. Micah chapter 4. It repeats really what Isaiah chapter 2 says, that that Jerusalem shall be established, and that people will say, come, let us go to Jerusalem to learn and of God and walk in his ways. But it goes on one more verse and says, they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. And fear is certainly something that's on the earth at the moment. And that verse isn't talking about that suddenly every person is going to be able to have their own vine and sit by it, and they'll have this fig tree there'll be a lot of vines and a lot of fig trees and not much else. I like my grapes, but you would need something else. But if you go back into Kings, into the time of King Solomon, there was a phrase used there that under Solomon, every man sat under his vine and under his fig tree. And again, it's not literal. Some of it is. Some people have had them. But it's talking about a time of peace, a time when you can sit and not be afraid that somebody's going to come and take. And so we could go on. There's many different pictures. The Lord Jesus Christ, when you come over to the New Testament, it's talking about his teachings and then his disciples afterwards. And there are some allusions, some pictures, like from the Old Testament, that say this is what it's going to be like. But the Lord Jesus Christ takes a little bit of a different track on it. I've got a few examples, but we'll just take one. Let's take Matthew 25 as our example about what the Lord Jesus Christ is now saying about this kingdom that he is going to come back and set up. If you come into Matthew 25, there's a few parables at the start which talk about the kingdom. Matthew talks about the kingdom of heaven, but it's the same thing, the kingdom of God here on this earth. It was just his phrase that he used. So in your own time, look through those and have a look about what he talks about with the kingdom. But we'll come down to verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. So there's going to be judgment when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to set up this kingdom. So what does he do? Verse 33, he shall set the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. So excuse me. Then shall the king say unto them on his right, that's to the sheep, come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me meat, I was thirsty and you gave me drink, I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me, sick and you visited me, in prison and you came to me. Verse 37. Then the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we hungry and fed thee? Or thirsty and gave you drink? When saw we you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when saw we sick or in prison and came unto you? So these ones, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, you've done all these things for me. And they say, when? We don't remember doing this. And so Jesus says to them, verse 40, the king shall answer and say, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brothers, you have done it unto me. And that's the point the Lord Jesus Christ wants to get across about the kingdom of God. The Old Testament gave us those beautiful pictures about a world in peace and in harmony. And the Lord Jesus Christ always starts and says the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God is like. But he never says it's going to be like a desert blossoming or like peace where a child can play in the streets safely or that they can play with a lion. Have a look through all his parables where he talks about what the kingdom of God is like. And he's talking about what the character and attitude of the people are going to be like there. And that's the best thing. And so that's what we've had a look at here. We have to be like those people, like the sheep, if we would like to be in that kingdom. Go through we haven't got time, it's time, go through the others and see what the attitude is that you need in order to be a part of that kingdom. Some homework for you. So the future is bright according to the Bible. This future is coming. So I suppose the million-dollar question you all want to know is, when? When can we enjoy these brilliant times? Well, we've kind of hinted at it already, looking at Daniel chapter 2, haven't we? We're in the days of those kings, of the fragmented kingdoms of the iron and the clay. So it obviously is coming soon. If you're in Matthew, come across just a couple of books to Luke and chapter 21. Luke chapter 21 and going at verse 25. Jesus is telling his disciples here about this kingdom to come. There shall be signs in the sun, the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Well, we're getting some signs in the sun and moon and stars at the moment. A bit of a deeper study is that can relate to nations and things, but I believe it's also partly literal in the heavens. But there we've got earth, upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. So as we started out looking about what the state of the earth is, surely we can see there's distress of nations, there's perplexity. Tom also spoke about it in his prayer, verse 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. So at this point, I can't see that it's going to be too much longer. Verse 27 then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So when? Don't know exactly. Paul in his letter to the Thessalonians tells us, Thessalonians, 1st of Thessalonians in chapter 5, he says, but of the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. When is this all going to happen? We don't know. God has left markers and signs for us to look for. But it will come very quickly and very suddenly, like a thief in the night would come to your house. And so Paul says there, let us watch. And if you're still in Luke 21, it says, verse 28, when Jesus has come with power and great glory, when these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. So at some point soon, the Lord Jesus Christ will return and will establish that kingdom, that wonderful kingdom where the future will be bright, where everything will be in harmony. But we need to read God's word, to watch out for the signs and look for the markers and be continually watching and be ready for when he does arrive. Thank you.